total assumption.
Well, yeah, I mean, I there's a lot of variables that go into it. I mean, there's no question that fire departments have potentially more need, especially in large metropolitan areas, of tax dollars than what EMS does, because EMS can charge for services.
And that's true.
They have a high enough run rate. They can offset, whereas fire departments really do not have an avenue that I'm aware of.
Your house burned down, by the way, you owe us $10,000.
Yeah, to get, so there is.
I can pray that, yes, they do. Fire departments can charge. We've done it for wildland fires that happened. $10,000 bill went out to the property owner.
The amount of wildland fires that happen.
It's not just wildland, it's any kind of search and rescues, any kind of that
false
uses
alarms.
The research, yes. Resources, false alarms, you can bill for those.
But you don't bill for...
But
it's not a standard practice, but there is an avenue you can do that, is all I'm saying to you.
Yeah, and the volume percentage is going to be higher for medicine than it is probably going to be for fire. Maybe you charge more for fire, but you do, like here, you do 300 calls fire, you do 1,100 calls EMS.
Correct.
So your potential of earnings, but as your point is, there could be an alternative funding source to fires.
Like I've heard of fire departments charging $55,000 for search and rescue operation.
Goodness.
Because of it was negligent and things like that, and it works. There is an avenue, I'm just saying it to you, there is an avenue. If a fire department chooses to do that, they can do it, and some fire departments have where they can't go above the $1.50 and things like that. Throughout the nation, this is a possibility to do that.
That's good input. Thank you.
Anything else you want to...
I don't think on that there, and I think you have down further of the what they want.
Yeah, it's number four, which is the next action. You have any questions, Dan?
No, and again, thank you. It sounds like you did a great job.
Chuck did a great job. I mean, they tried to push him, and like I say, from timing and from so forth, and Chuck held his ground. He did very well in the presentation.
Did you see his picture?
Yes.
Yeah. It was a good picture. Looked like he was...
If we were in the fire department, he would owe us all ice cream. Get his picture in the paper.
My picture was in there, too, with Carolyn. Carolyn said, I look like I fell asleep, and you look like you're thinking about dinner.
So the next item is... Chuck deferred back to this group, and we have the same number of members here now as we did that night, to discuss taking action or recommending action for the town and the fire district start moving forward in discussing annexation. I don't know if we feel like we have enough members here, or should we wait for that first Wednesday in January, which is only a couple weeks away. I mean, if Chuck was deferring until we had all the members here, the only one that's different is you, Dan. We still don't have George. We don't have the full board here. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
What are we meeting again?
We generally meet the first and third Wednesdays, which is coming up like the January 3rd?
January 2.
Yeah, that's right, because it would be Tuesdays the 1st, so it would be the 2nd.
Yeah.
You know, I mean... I think we could wait because I can't imagine they're going to
take action next week.
To do any kind of preliminary stuff through the holidays. I mean, I would think that Chuck could just communicate to Duncan that, you know what, George missed, I was out, and that he would communicate. I mean, I guess what they wanted to do, and I'm not certain why they wanted us to give an acknowledgement of it.
I think trying to just respect our discussion about let us finish our business and make a recommendation. What I heard Duncan say is that He knows that there's a potential issue of selling the annexation to the voters to increase their property tax to pay for a service they're already getting. And so he said a couple things. He said, you know, he could try to sell it based on using the funds that we're now contracting with to do certain specific road projects and say, here's what the benefit's going to be. But it'd be nice to have that carrot to say, here's the long-term plan goal that this will help facilitate whatever that may be, which is dependent upon what our recommendation ultimately is.
Yeah, he was pretty clear about that. He basically, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, my impression was, and actually I listened to the audio, and almost an exact quote what Mark just said. Wilson said, there's no sense going forward without a full and complete report from the CAG supporting the process and the vote of these organizations, because voters are going to have to have reason to do what they're going to do.
Yeah.
You know, he basically said, you know, because some of the fire commissioners were maybe interested in starting talks with regarding annexation regardless. And
right.
Wilson basically said, no, you know, we're only interested in talking about this if it's in the context of a merger. It was my impression. You know,
it's also on
wrong.
Page two. He does it twice.
He does it twice. Right. He's pretty, yeah.
Yeah, my feeling, well, I think we should wait until the next meeting when everybody's here. But my feeling is, why go forward? If you need to sell this thing, we need to have everything in order.
Yeah, I think what they're going forward on, this is my impression, mm-hmm. is they want to know, should we start getting in contact with attorneys to start? And what I basically said is, you know, George did that work, and he went and he found the resolution and ordinances that were drafted and adopted elsewhere to do the annexation. And yes, you still have to have their own attorneys look at it, but mm-hmm. a lot of the work has been done and will come out in any kind of packet that we put together. But what I heard them say is, should we start at least having those communications and figuring out exactly what we need to do and what that would look like? I mean, they could do that without our vote, but they're asking us to, I guess, endorse it or recommend it. I think we could wait. I mean,
yeah.
As I agree with Rick, nothing's going to happen between now and January 2nd.
Right. Right.
I think you were just talking about why, though, have them do it before, not before right. January the 2nd, but before March 31st. Is that
exactly.
what you were thinking?
It's worth discussing.
Yes.
I mean, if they can do some legwork and get some clerical things out of the way or find the route they're going to take, but before you present it.
My fear is once you start down that road, people are going to get wind of it, and it's 3 months.
Good point. Yeah.
Before you know, we may come up with a presentation, and people start to ask why, and starts to be a negative connotation that, you know, now they just want more money. Now mm-hmm. they just want more money. I have no clue how that will register one way or the other. What I key back in on, my perception of what Duncan said when he sat here, was we get one shot.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, maybe they could do some work, but I would really hate to have them get a little bit confusion out there if they really don't have anything yet to be the carrot to do it. And then people start to negatively go against it. Because if we don't come out till April, let's say March, April 1st, and they have to put into paperwork, and maybe this is why they want to get started, which would make sense, but they have to put their paperwork in by May.
Depends on which election.
But for an election this year, could they do it?
No,
they could do August for November, or when does?
I'd have to go back. I don't know the exact dates, but it's we have to ask Mylene, the election office.
I mean, I guess my thing would be, it really needs to be, they need to do caution, I think,
mm-hmm.
and if they think they could gain some ground without it getting confused, then, you know, I don't know that I have one feeling or another. If they think that, and my perception is that it could you know, add to some complexity because people are going, why? And there's no why. There's even not anything to stand on other than this should be a willingness to do it. I think it would be great as long as the general fund was, you know, reissued back.
Right.
Because the what they're paying and the tax rate, my assumption is that they're probably pretty close to dollars. Mm-hmm. But when you're going to raise the property tax and also to some degree keep the general election dollars, then unless Duncan can come up with a real hard sell of why to do that outside of merging EMS and fire just to do fire, if they can do it, then it really sits outside of us. You know, if they just want to annex in the town so that it's into the fire and it's on the property tax and it has no value of whether EMS comes in or not, because maybe at the end of the day EMS doesn't. Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, whatever that they've done and so forth, I mean, they just have to consider that going into it. So I think let's just get all the members together.
Yeah, I don't think their intention was to actually initiate the process of merger. Their intention was just to start
discussion
about it.
But that's a very good point, that somebody hears a little something in one meeting and it's going to...
They already heard it at the joint meeting.
Yeah, that's kind of already.
Because that was the only question that was asked, I think.
Yeah, that was the only question by the
by Sharon.
By Sharon that was asked. It was about the...
Oh, Sharon asked it?
Mm-hmm. She asked, I hear exactly what she asked, but it was so is this already a done deal? Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she said, it sounds like in your talk, the discussion, that you're assuming it's going to happen.
Right.
Because you're going down the road of annexing the town. Right. It's already been a done decision.
Warren's response was good, though. He said,
he was.
In all of our discussions, it's always been an if. It's not at all a done deal.
Yeah, he deflected as well as could be.
Do you think, I mean, does that seems accurate to me, doesn't it?
It does, but, you know, when somebody's not, you know, the press can really take it for whatever it means, but I thought he deflected well. And I thought accurately as well. I mean, he did. He very much did.
Yeah. All right, next item on here is report from subcommittees.
How's the budget subcommittee going of one?
Did you meet? I did. And
is it unanimous?
It probably took a slight detour just because I've been a little bit inundated with a few things. But and right now, what I'm trying to do is meld Orcas's into the rest of them because they deal in their own accounting environment. They don't deal in the county's environment. So I'm trying to right now match everything up so that we can kind of take a look at that. But I'm hoping that Christmas slows down enough so to get a good perspective by our first meeting on the second, where we can sit down and start to look at and just kind of do some comparisons. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Since George is not here, there's no legal committee report. Mm-hmm. And the outreach committee, I think we reported out the last one, so right. We weren't going to do anything further, I don't believe, were we?
I'm going to be talking with two people just once, following up small little questions here and there for clarification.
Yeah. You know, one other thing too on the meeting on Wednesday, apologize that there was a comment, maybe you encapsulated it in here.
Which but, one?
It was from Norvin when Chuck talked about service levels.
It's page 3 at the bottom, second paragraph up from the bottom on page 3.
On page 3.
That's the only statement from Collins that I put in here.
Yeah, he did have something about service levels, but I don't think this.
I did.
Oh, be cautious. Yeah.
Yeah, he was concerned.
Be cautious about levels of service.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So he wanted to caution us about developing service levels. Um,
that, and I think it was, you know, is something get developed that the residents perceive as something that's either can't be accomplished, was what I kind of got, or would be further out than maybe, you know, what they could offer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think what I took from it is sometimes citizens have unrealistic expectations, it's not easy. I mean, so the citizens say, we want this level of service, and you say, well, that's going to cost this amount, and that sometimes is not easy to explain to citizens.
And so, Dave Ralston, that both Chuck and I were talking with, heads all the EMS stuff at Bellingham. He brought it up twice. Be very realistic in both your levies you're asking for and levels of service. Make sure you absolutely can meet
whatever things. Those are.
Yeah. Yeah. So. But one of the things I think that we pointed out was that you have to have some deliverable, which is an expectation. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're going to spend money or they're going to have to vote on something, they're also going to have an expectation of a return. Mm-hmm. And if we can't explain to them what that return is, or if it can't be developed to the extent that it can be measured, then how do you know you were successful at the end of the day? Mm-hmm. How do you know that it didn't cost you more or less? How do you know that it didn't
impact the service level?
Worse rather than better. So there has to be expectations at the end of the day, whether you call them service levels or whatever.
Right.
But he cautioned on that piece as well. So I apologize, I just remembered that.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. Yeah. So.